Verses 12 through 15, if you don't have your Bible, bring it next Sunday, but follow along on the screen. The text is provided this morning. Praise the Lord. Trust you had a good week. Looking forward to another beautiful Lord's Day here and another great week that God has given us, amen, to make a difference in this world. Praise God. Joshua chapter 10. 12 through 15, if you're a visitor this morning, we want to welcome you. First-time visitor, you are very important, and we would love to make your acquaintance. And we just love people here at Broadway and love the Lord. And so we want you to feel like you're one of us. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, notice this, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about, how long? A whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned unto all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. I want to share with you the thought I've extracted from this passage called It's Not Over Yet. It's not over yet. Turn to somebody and say, my day's not over yet. Oh, come on. You got to tell them like you've been fighting all day and God's given you a few bonus moments. My day's not over yet. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for the Word of God. Thank you for the power of God. We just invite your presence to minister in every heart, every family that's assembled here today. Thank you for what's already been experienced, the worship, the praise, the adoration. Now, Lord, as we come to your Word, challenge our hearts and speak to somebody. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's folks say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. The background behind this passage is one of where the city of Gibeon is under siege from about five enemy kings that had surrounded them. All of these kings, if you want a list, we have Adonai Zedek, which was king of Jerusalem at that time, Hoham was the king of Hebron. Piram was the king of Jarmuth. Japhia was over Lachish. And Deber was over Eglon. That's the five. They have watched Joshua. They have watched his army come in across the Jordan River as God had promised to take them. They have now advanced and overcome Jericho through a miraculous a manifestation of God's Spirit. They have then advanced to Ai, had a little setback for a moment, and then had to get some things taken care of within the camp, and then they was given a second shot at Ai, and God allowed them to take that the second time around. Now, as the battles of conquest are continuing, and Israel is pressing her way into her promise, these kings noticed that the Gibeonites, if you remember the story of the Gibeonites, they were the ones that approached Joshua. They came with tattered garments and moldy bread. How many remember that? And they said, we need to make a kind of a covenant with you, because they didn't want to be the next city overthrown. And so they made an alliance with Joshua and Israel. And so now, because Gibeon has made that alliance and was a great city, these five kings decide to unite and come against Gibeon. So they come to the city, and as was common in those days, from what Scripture relates to us, they would surround the city and then start to bargain with the people inside, with the leaders. They would literally shut off all outward resources that might be coming into the city, and they would close off those who were exporting goods out of the city. And so the siege could become very stressful, very taxing on the people. And so facing this dilemma, the little city of Gibeon now sends word and makes an appeal to Joshua in chapter 10 and verse 6. I didn't take the time to read it. But basically, in essence, they said, oh, by the way, Joshua, since we kind of made that covenant a few days ago with you guys, how about coming to our defense and helping us fight our enemies? And a little news flash for you today. Be careful who you choose to join arms with, because you'll soon be called to fight their battles with them. Their cause will become your cause. Their responsibility, your responsibility. Their enemy, your enemy. Hello? So, for the sake of his word, Joshua responded, and in turn, it shows us, I think, a faith-building lesson that we can see unfold before our eyes as God grants the miracle of an extended day. How many would like a miracle like that in your life? Well, I've got 3 points, and I'm going to hurry. I'm going to really try to hurry, so I got to get going, so you better just hang on. I was looking on the website. Brother Cruz had been doing a good job on getting the new website up, and he had put a sermon on there, and I noticed it was 53 minutes. And I said, that couldn't be me. And it was. I said, bless their hearts, I've got to hurry. Number one, to experience a miracle like this, number one, we must have a warrior mentality. How many has been fighting the devil this week? The first lesson comes from verses 6 and 7. And with the threat from the intruders, let me recap. Joshua is determined that he's going to go stand beside this little city of Gibeon. And he was going to fight with them to the finish. And I was thinking this week, any victory that comes to us as believers in our spiritual lives, church, will be accomplished because of an internal fight that we have inside of us. If you lose that spiritual internal fight, then you will become a spiritual casualty. Hello. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, we do not war after the flesh. 1 Timothy 1:18, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle. It's a fight. It's a wrestling. And the apostles wrote, I think, all those scriptures I quoted are from the New Testament. I believe many of those apostles wrote many of the fight scriptures, probably within eye view of a Roman soldier or a centurion who was no doubt guarding them because they had been acquainted with each other because the preacher had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. So let me run down a little rabbit trail right quick, and then I'm going to come back here in just a minute because I thought it was interesting. Historical records give us an idea about a Roman centurion and what he was willing to do to hold his rank, and I thought it very interesting. He was no limp-wristed sissy. He was a man's man. We got a man's man in here. I mean, I've read that he was only promoted to the position of a centurion after spending at least 16 years in combat. He was promoted to centurion after he was able to carry 90 pounds of equipment at least 20 miles a day, training under harsh conditions. He was required to equip himself at his own expense. He was required to be able to pay his own food, pay for his own clothing, bedding, boots, armor, and actually pay dues to a burial club. He was a skilled engineer and a builder, not just a fighter. In addition to his excellent fighting skills, he had to know how to build an apparatus that would be able to hold his men as they cross a river. He had to be able to engineer. He was in charge of 100-man sentry and was responsible for their welfare. He had to enlist for 25 years, and if he lived to tell about it, at the end, he was given a lump sum of money and a small piece of land to farm and live out his retirement. He knew that death was the penalty for fleeing during battle. He knew that death was the penalty if he faked an illness in order to, I don't want to fight that battle, so I'm going to fake an illness. This was no doubt the kind of, I'm talking about a fighter. I'm talking about a warrior. This was, and I say all that to say, Joshua was known in the Old Testament as a warrior. He heard the threats coming in from about five different kings, and he was not a Roman, but he was a renowned warrior, and he was willing to give himself to the fight and battle this enemy until victory was secured. And so Joshua had the mentality of a warrior in all of his battles because he realized it was the will of God for Israel to possess the promise. It was the will of God for them to attain victory. Victory is the will of God. Can I tell somebody here this morning, victory is the will of God for your life? Now you say, Pastor, you sound great when you say that, but everything in my life looks like the opposite. Oftentimes it's that way. I said, oftentimes it is that way. But you have got to realize and you have got to grasp victory, regardless of circumstances, is the will of God for every believer's life. That wasn't in my notes, but I felt like saying it. Victory is the will of God, but at some point in our lives, there has to be a time that we realize that victory only comes to those who get up and fight for it. If you don't have that internal fight, then you will not go after victory. If we are going to have a miracle of another day, it's going to take a fight. Victory can never come when we are lying down spiritually hitting the snooze button. Huh? We are compelled to get up out of our spiritual lazy boys and battle this fight. Somewhere, sometime, that warrior mentality has to be awakened in our soul. I've shared with you the last two Sundays about the enemy, about our adversary, the devil. And obviously there at the end, it's going to be a lockdown for him. But for us during this time, coming to the end of time and days, when Christ comes and descends from heaven and the angel of the Lord puts that lock on Satan and says, it's over for you. Well, then we're going to have to be able to fight him. And it's where we say, devil, I've been pushed around long enough. I've been at the mercy of my own whims and your whims long enough. My pride has kept me. Maybe it's a list of things. Maybe my anger has crippled me long enough. My selfishness has kept me uninvolved long enough. I have let a bad spirit hold on to me too long, and now I'm going to fight it. Or I'm tired of unforgiveness. I'm tired of being filled with jealousy. I'm going to fight it. I've let greed shut down my giving long enough, and my moods have taken me captive for the last time, and I've been choked down by this or that, and my self-pity has paralyzed me long enough, and my besetting sins have ruled me long enough, and it's time we wake up and say, enough is enough. I said, enough is enough. It's time to get up and fight the battle for our family. It's time to get up and fight the battle for our souls. It's time to get up and fight the battle for our church, because this is the last day, and the devil knows his time is short. and he is in overtime. Listen, I said he is in overtime. It's time the church recognize it and we start working like we're in overtime. If we can ever get engaged in the battle, we will find out it isn't our battle anyway, because ultimately that battle belongs to the Lord. David said it in 1 Samuel 17. And if we can understand that the battle's on the outside and the ones raging on the inside belong to God, but that we have a part to play, it will change our perspective. It will change our entire outlook. And I want you to notice some details of this battle on this day for Joshua, because in the early morning, the battle developed. It was set in array in the plain of Gibeah. In chapter 10, verse 10, in the Bible we read, havoc begins to fall on the enemies of God because the havoc was produced by heavily artillery called hail. God actually sent hail and began to destroy. The destruction began to unfold as Joshua and his army chased back these five enemy kings and their armies. And the day ends with a miracle of some bonus hours as these evil kings are brought to justice and executed and their cities are spoiled. These kind of victories, church, can happen in our lives in a spiritual sense if you and I ever wake up to the spiritual warrior side of us that says, listen, enough is enough. And this is one of the things that it takes to have this kind of miracle, because when you are fighting it out in the Spirit, one of the greatest temptations for us as believers is to throw up our hands and not realize that there's a hope inside of us and say, listen, we might as well just take it easy and be relaxed. We think, well, we've been enjoying some wonderful weekends and powerful services. We can sit back now. We can take it easy. We can catch our breath a bit. And I've just come out of a good service, and I think I can wait a little bit before I enter the battle again. How many know as soon as you leave the presence of God, the devil's going to hit you the hardest? Huh? And I've come, I mean, that's the, when you get distracted and you get tempted to kind of sit on the sideline, let me tell you, that's not a warrior mentality. You're going to find yourself slipping and falling. We must have the courage to slay the tendencies of spiritual lackadaisical attitude. There it is. Lackadaisical attitude. We must be able to slay that tendency. And church, every person we meet, you know, every person in here this morning is probably fighting their own battle in their own way, in their life, maybe in their family. There isn't a single believer that is not engaged in a battle on some front in their lives. If you was to take a poll across this sanctuary today, you could no doubt find each and every individual. They're going through a battle in their life. And if we by the Spirit can overcome spiritual complacency, then I think the kingdoms of the devil can be dismantled. God will alter. Listen, He will even alter the solar system sometimes to see that the devil is defeated. Listen, there has to be a revival of a spiritual warrior mentality if you are going to get your miracle that you've been praying for, you've been trusting God for, and you've been asking God to meet it. You've got to be willing to say, all right, Lord, I'll step across the line. I'll fight if I have to fight. Listen, friends, and next, if you want a miracle of this magnitude, I've got to hurry, you must endure some long nights. That's the second point. If you want a miracle of this magnitude, you must endure a long night. One of the things we find is that Joshua traveled 3 days in a single night. Read the text, Joshua 10:9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Geographically, the distance is 27 miles. From Gilgal to Gibeah, which for an army, you got to realize Joshua was taking his army. For an army would have been, under normal circumstances, stretched out to 3 days. But Joshua was under pressure. You ever been there? Joshua was under pressure. He had to get to Gibeah quickly. They were under siege. Joshua had no idea what kind of miracle he was going to need. He was not anticipating, no doubt, what he walked into. He probably was somewhat anticipating, though, in a sense, that maybe he was getting in over his head when he heard that there was five kings with their five armies that combined to fight against two, the little town of Gibeon, and then Joshua. Now, while they were traveling through that long night, God, though, was planning and preparing to stretch out their day. They just didn't know it. Isn't that how it is when we are fighting our long night seasons? Have you ever been there? How many has ever experienced a night season in your spiritual life? Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Night season. Okay. Sometimes we spiritually endure long nights of disappointment, long nights of where our faith flounders. Anybody identify? Long nights where it seems like hope is gone. Long nights of pressure. Long nights of pain. Long nights of separation. Long nights of mistrust. Long nights of failure. Long nights of longing for a better tomorrow. Long nights of wasted effort. Those nights can be destructive to our faith if we let them. Hello? But the secret to another victorious day is that we endure the long night. And Joshua did just that with his enemy. I like what David said. He realized this when he said in Psalm 35, he said, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Beloved, don't waste your long nights. Rather, embrace them with endurance. Because tomorrow may be your day when a miracle is going to be experienced. Hallelujah. Keep praying. Keep working. Keep worshiping. Keep giving. Keep loving. Keep pursuing. Keep going all the way through your long, long night. The longest night usually comes before our best day of victory. Did you hear me? Our longest night usually comes before our best day of victory. So Joshua got in the warrior mindset. Secondly, he endured a long night of travel with his army, pushing them, enduring, taking a 3-day journey and pushing it into one night season. Listen, friend, so Joshua got the warrior mindset. He endured a long, toilsome night. And then come morning, when he started fighting, God marched onto the scene and started rocking his enemies all day long. The Bible says this battle raged. Remember, this is 2 against 5 here. Soon Joshua comes to a critical and crucial point in this intense battle. I want you to notice his night was a long night. And now night was approaching again. He was right on the verge of victory when he realized he had another enemy he was fighting. It was not the League of Five Kings he was worrying about. It was the enemy of time. He was running out of daylight. The devil is telling somebody that there's not enough time to win your battle. Pastor, I'm trying to win this personal battle. And I feel I'm on the verge of getting it together. But it looks like my family's breaking apart. And there's no hope. Pastor, I think I've just started getting better, but then this happened. Pastor, I finally received my direction, my purpose, my calling in life. But you know what? I'm thinking I'm over 45 now, and it seems like time is against me. Pastor, I would fight this battle if I knew I could have the time that I need to win it. Listen. It's in that circumstance that Joshua takes a moment out of the battle to talk to the captain.
And it is at that moment that Joshua prays a crazy, crazy prayer. In the last hours of the church, I believe God is looking for people that's going to pray some crazy prayers. They're going to pray things that have never been prayed before. They're going to ask God to do things that they don't have any previous point of reference for asking for. It's easy to ask God to do for us what we've seen Him do before. But we are going to have to find ourselves in situations that we're going to have to ask God to create a new kind of deliverance. A kind of deliverance that we've never experienced before. The miracle of the crumbling walls of Jericho was great, but crumbling walls would not help in this battle. Because walls were not the problem, daylight was. God was not going to repeat an old way of victory, rather, He was going to create a new miracle of a new day. You know, my prayer is not going to be, Lord, what I saw You do for John or Sue or Cindy, would You do it for me? No. Sometimes we're going to find ourselves praying, God, I have never seen You do this for anybody before, but I need You to do this one just for me. I'm talking about crazy prayer. Anybody in here ever cried out to God with a crazy prayer? Oh, you ain't hearing me. Have you ever prayed a crazy prayer? How about this? Have you ever prayed a crazy prayer in this middle aisle here? Oh, yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And prayers that sometimes you can't even tell anybody what you're praying. Because they would criticize you and tell you, you've lost your mind. But God, I want to hear somebody say amen. If you know God answers crazy prayers. Huh? God is able to answer the prayers of a barren woman named Hannah. When she cries out to God in the church and the pastor thinks she's been drinking. Says, you need to lay off the bottle, Sister Hannah. She says, no, this is agony of spirit. I said, that was a crazy prayer that Hannah was praying. God's able to raise up a dead man that's been in the grave for 3 days like Lazarus. When somebody said, Lazarus, come forth. That was looked at as a crazy prayer. So Joshua here stands on the mountain and he raises his hands to God. And he offers a crazy prayer. He says, Lord, would You please stop the sun? Nobody had ever said anything like that to God before. I said nobody had ever prayed like that before. They had asked Him to roll back the Red Sea. They had asked Him to send bread called manna. They had asked Him to send the quail. But listen, nobody had ever asked God to stop the center of the solar system. And listen, that flaming fuel-filled star, 75% hydrogen, is it 25%? Helium, 186,000 miles in diameter, 93,000 miles away. And here Joshua says, Lord, this one's a little too big for me, so why don't You just stop it? Joshua said, Lord, stop the sun. It's out of my reach. I can't reach this one. So Lord, would You stop it for me? Listen, I've been fighting everything I can reach down here. But Lord, I can't reach this one. So would You reach up and stop the sun? Woo! Joshua, notice. He says, God, I'm reaching what I can reach. My men has been battling all day. So Lord, this time, I'm going to trust You to stop the sun. Oh my goodness. Stop the sun, whose gravitational pull holds all of our planets at bay. If You can stop the sun, then everything He said would come to a standstill. And that'll give me a few bonus moments to wrap this battle up. Hallelujah. Joshua was not interested in asking God to do something about the enemy. He had learned that fighting the enemy was his part. But there was God's part in this battle. And Joshua said, I've done all I can do now, Lord. It's up to you to do your part. Joshua knew that God would stop some things for his people that normally couldn't be stopped. When we are fighting and things are set in motion against us, the whole system seems to be against us, and the whole circumstance is against us, and there are more things against us than we can deal with. There's more than we can come to grips with. I want you to know, my purpose in preaching this morning is to tell somebody, if you'll reach what you can reach, God will reach what you cannot reach. Huh? If you will fight what you can fight, God will take care of the rest. He can stop the whole thing. He can bring the whole plot of the enemy to a standstill. He can deal with adversity when you can't. He can deal with the dilemma when you can't. He can stop the sun. I said, he can stop the... Now, why stop the sun? Because Israel's on the brink of a massive victory. Because they almost had everything under their feet. Almost. They almost had everything under their feet. But all they needed was for their day not to be over yet. Lord, I need some extra time. Time I wasn't even supposed to have. Lord, time. I have no right to ask for. But it's room that God, I believe you can give me to help me receive a breakthrough. Have you ever talked to the Lord like that? Huh?
I'm feeling like preaching right here.
Tell somebody, my day's not over yet. Huh? I believe the devil whispered in Joshua's ear and said, well, Josh, looks like you're missing your chance. The sun is setting, and your opportunity for victory, your day is coming to a close. Night is falling, and you still haven't won this battle yet, Josh. Then Joshua prays a crazy prayer, and 5 minutes after his prayer, he noticed the sun, which was going down just 5 minutes earlier, is now standing still. Right then, I believe Joshua has a little praise break. I said, I believe Joshua has to step away from the battle, and he says, I'm about to have me a Pentecostal fit. Huh? He begins to realize what God has just done for them. I said, the Bible says it's not happened before nor since. He had the audacity to pray a crazy prayer. And now he begins to shout to his army. Go ahead. God stopped the sun for us. Can you imagine how that would build up the morale of an army? Oh, my goodness. When all of them begin to look at each other and say, our day's not over yet. Our day's not over yet. Let's go get them again. Let's move forward again. Some of them had put their swords in their sheath and they said, oh, our day's not over yet. No, the sun, look at the sun. It's standing still. God's going to give us about 12 more hours. He said, God's going to give us about 12 more hours. Listen, friend, sometimes this morning the devil may be in your ear saying, you've missed your day. You've missed your opportunity for victory. You've missed your spiritual breakthrough. But can I remind you, God is able to stop the day for you. And I believe He's able to give you a few bonus moments. If you're getting down to where the night is falling and you're saying, God, it seems like my victory is slipping away. God says, all right, pray a crazy kind of prayer. And I will stop the sun if I have to. Somebody tell the devil, my day's not over. Tell the devil, my day's not over yet. My day's not over yet. Woo! I said, my day's not over yet. Listen, in your life, the enemy may be getting ready to sign your certificate of defeat. I said, but stand on the mountain, raise your hands with Joshua, and declare one thing. No, no, no. My day is not over yet. I said, somebody needs to shout it in the mouth of hell. My day is not over yet. Oh, I feel the power of God in this house. I wish somebody would get a little intestinal fortitude to declare it in the mouth of hell. You may be signing my certificate of defeat, but I'm going to rip it up and say, son, it's going to stand still. Woo! Sometimes I just need a few more moments at the altar. Sometimes I need a little more time. Because I've wasted it fighting amongst my own comrades when I should have been fighting the devil. Hello. Joshua pleads, Lord, would you just give us a little more time? That's a prayer that some of you need to pray. When you find yourself at the end of your rope, tie a knot and pray, God, give me a little more time. Just give me a little more time. Listen, has anybody in here ever had God do you a favor? Huh? When the facts were stacked against you, but then all of a sudden God gave you a favor that you did not deserve, that you did not earn. I'm preaching this morning, huh? When it was all said and done, you couldn't say that it was His favor on you because of your prayer life, because you didn't have much one. It wasn't because of your righteousness, because our righteousness is a filthy rags. I'm talking about when God does a favor and He gives you a miracle of a little more time. It wasn't because of your conviction. You couldn't claim it. You couldn't explain it. You couldn't authenticate it. All you had to say was, look at Jesus. He's the one that made it possible. I don't receive any of the glory or all the credit. He does. God just did something supernatural. Now, here's the point. You think you want to win the victory? You think you want this victory to be over? But I want you to see how bad God wants it to be over. He's the one that had to come in here and move for you. Huh? That means God wants your victory even more than you do. Hello, church. I said, hello. God wants your victory more than you do. That's why He blessed you in spite of the facts. That's why He's blessed you in spite of circumstances, in spite of your situation, simply because He wanted victory more than you ever wanted it. And that's the reason we can tell our enemies, listen, my day is not over yet. Huh? That's the reason we can say with the psalmist David, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. I said, if it had not been for the Lord, that's the reason we can say, by our God, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. I said, hallelujah. When you remain in the fight and God gets ready to bring you out, there's nobody that can keep you back. I said, He will stop the whole system if He has to in order so you can experience your victory. Huh? He told Joshua, I know there's still a few things, son, that you've not got together yet. Huh? So I'm going to give you a little more time. I can always tell which people are living in the bonus moments of their battle. Huh? I find they have a different mentality in worship than those that are still fighting within the 24 hours. The fighters whose God has blessed with a bonus because they cried out to Him, I've noticed they don't have time to be arrogant. They're just happy for the grace of God. And while others are sitting around trying to be all sanctimonious, these that are experiencing the bonus moments, they've got their hands up. They've got their eyes focused. Huh? They've got a voice of praise. Hello. They're thanking the Lord because when it looked like night was going to come before the victory did, God stepped in and stopped the night. They are the believers that know, I told you, they're the ones that really know how to process what David said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. Hallelujah. Finally, I want us to see one more point here before we close. If you want a miracle of this magnitude, you have got to believe God radically. Radically. This final point is that we have to believe God no matter how outrageous. Far too often, here's what we do. We listen to the so-called voices of experience that says, God's never done this before, so you might as well not expect it. Doubt begins to tell us what God can do or cannot do. I am so tired of listening to the voice of doubt. Truth is, oftentimes our past experiences and our associations become contributing factors into how we perceive God now. So if He hasn't ever worked that way in the past, then basically we say to ourselves, He can't do that now. Joshua would tell us that our faith should never be judged by the standards of past carnal reasoning. Oh, help me. Joshua 10:12 says, Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the sight of all Israel. Son, stand thou still. Can you imagine? This was a crazy prayer. And I told you about some prayers you got to pray in yourself, because everybody's going to think you're crazy if they hear you. But notice how Joshua prayed this crazy prayer in the sight of all Israel. Now that's going out on a limb. Can you imagine what those Israelites that heard Joshua pray this kind of prayer, what they must have thought? It's been a long day for Josh. When he starts commanding the sun to stand still, we've been in a battle too long. Hello, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, from the natural standpoint, the words that Joshua prayed normally would belong to a madman, someone who belongs in room 23 in the local psych ward. From a spiritual standpoint, those words look like they're filled with spiritual pride and presumption. I mean, who does he think he is? But somewhere in Joshua's mind, he had to believe for something that he had never seen come to pass before. Do you hear me? He had to believe for something that he had never seen before. And there are times that we will have to believe God can do it when we've never seen it like that before. If we take a look at all the miracles in the Bible, the cold hard facts are there were rarely any repeats. Do you hear me? rarely any repeats. That means that when the miracle showed up on the horizon, no one had ever seen it happen just like that before. A 90-year-old mother named Sarah, come on. A burning bush that was never consumed. A shepherd's rod that would turn into a serpent. Manna falling on the ground. A miracle of a cloud and a pillar of fire for protection and guidance. The water at Marah losing its bitterness and becoming sweet. Get this one. A talking donkey. Falling walls of a city called Jericho. Gideon's miracle of pitchers, torches, and trumpets. 300 against 35,000. Samson slaying a lion, catching foxes, carrying off city gates, picking up a donkey's jawbone and slaying 1,000. Elijah shutting down rain for 3 years, being fed by the ravens, fire falling from heaven on the sacrifice, the slaying of 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah's flooded ditches filled with water during the famine, a widow's vessel being filled with oil, and a dead boy coming back to life with 7 sneezes. Jesus healing the blind, healing the crippled, and touching all sorts of people with all kinds of issues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The list could go on and on and on. Some of you here this morning are here because of a miracle in your family. All of these miracles took place.
How?
Because desperate people who thought their day was over. One last prayer. And that was going to be a big one. I said, praise God. They got to that place. The night was coming quickly. They weren't going to be able to sew this victory up. They said, I've got one prayer to pray. And I'm going to pray a big one. And just like Joshua, he said, Lord, what bigger prayer could you pray? I said, what bigger prayer could you pray than, Lord, stop the sun. Sun, stand thou still. Hallelujah. Today I want somebody that's in a place of desperation right now to stand to your feet. I'm talking to somebody. I want you right now, stand to your feet. Don't you be ashamed. If you want to leave here with a miracle, I want you to stand to your feet. And we're not going to probe. We're not going to ask you what it is. We're not going to ask you what you're going through or what you're praying for. But I feel somebody is in a place of desperation where you're about ready to pray a prayer. I said, you're about ready to pray a prayer. Who is it? Do we have any more? Is this a few right here? Is this the few that are desperate in the house? Oh, by the power, I feel the presence of God in this house. Is there some more that's desperate for a miracle? That's it, that's it. I said, they're starting to stand up all over. Come on, don't be ashamed. You're in good company. I said, you're in good company. So just stand there right beside Joshua and say, God, I may have prayed a lot of prayers in my lifetime, but this morning I'm going to pray a big prayer. And I'm going to ask you specifically to meet a need in my life. I'm going to ask you specifically to meet a need in my family's life. Or somebody still needs to stand right here. I said you need to stand and believe God. I said you need to believe God. Listen, some of us need a miracle. Maybe the battle that you're fighting is just getting so intense. And you're saying, Lord, it doesn't look like this battle's going to end in my favor. I want you to stand if that is you right here. Woo! All right, we've got some desperate people. Now would you slip up a hand, those that are on your feet. And I want the rest of us to join them. I said, would you the rest of us join them? We're going to pray a prayer. I feel the presence of God. I'm sorry. Probably went too long. These are difficulties. I'm describing difficulties that's beyond your ability. Some of these difficulties are beyond your ability to describe. And you're desperate. You've come in this house this morning. You are open for a move of God. And here it is. I believe these difficulties are going to have to give way. When you pray the prayer of faith, I said, be ready to pray a big prayer. Because this, hallelujah, I feel the presence of God. Are you anticipating some prayer going up? I said, are you anticipating some powerful prayers? Oh, God. This may be a prayer for healing. It may be a prayer for salvation for a lost son or daughter. It may be a financial miracle that you're needing. Listen, friends, I want you to pray a prayer for some bonus hours that God is going to stretch your spiritual day. And you're going to be able to take home the victory because there's family members back home, Joshua, that's depending on you to bring home the victory. I said, somebody start raising your hands and praising God. I want us to create an atmosphere of praise in this house for just a few moments. Can we right here, God, in Jesus' name, somebody's going to pray a prayer. Woo! Somebody's going to pray a prayer. All right, who will slip out of your seat? Raise your hands as you come down this aisle. And I want you to stand across this front as we begin to pray. In Jesus' name, I need a miracle. In Jesus' name, I need a miracle. In Jesus' name, I need a miracle. Oh, that's it. Would you say, that's it, Pastor? I don't care how crazy it sounds. I'm going to believe God for my miracle. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. In Jesus' name. Now, right where you're at. If you're still coming, please come this way. But I want those that's still in the seat, I want you to pray right where you're at. Slip your hands up. Let's believe God. In Jesus' name. Oh, I feel the power of God. I hope you feel Him in the back like I do up here. I said, I hope you feel Him in the back like I do up here. Because I feel the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're desperate. In Jesus' name, we're desperate. All right, guys, I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray with audible voice. I want to hear some prayer. I want to hear some prayer warriors. I said I want to hear some prayer warriors. There's something in this place that says destiny is going to be affected. I said there's something in this house that says somebody's future is going to be affected. In Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. If you can only pray in the name of Jesus, I want you to pray in Jesus' name. I believe the power of the Holy Ghost is going to come down in Jesus' name. Speak by the power of the Holy Ghost right here across this front, Lord. We've got a handful of desperate folks. We've got a handful of Joshuas that are standing on the mountain and they're asking, oh God, there's a situation I can't reach and I'm asking you to reach it. Woo! That's it, sisters. That's it, brothers. Let the tears flow. Woo! I said, don't you think God's done in this house yet? If you gotta go, God bless you. I understand. But I want some folks that'll spend at least a few moments in the presence of God. Say, Lord, would you stand still? Take the sun and stand it still for my family. Woo! I said, that's happening. Sisters, find a sister. Would you come, sisters? Would you come, brothers? Find somebody to pray with. Come and stand with them. Say, all right, Joshua, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray a crazy prayer with you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would I have some help? Would I have some help? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Right here, Jesus, from this left hand to the right hand, my God, you're going to work in Jesus' name. Take the feeble effort, take my feeble words in Jesus' name as we together pray a big prayer. As we pray a big prayer, oh, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's it for this family. That's it for that family. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bondages are being broken. Homes are being healed. Relationships are being mended. I want to trust you, Lord. I want to trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, touch these young ladies. Touch these young ladies, God. Send the power of your presence.
Turn the water into wine. Touch the lame and heal the blind. He's got a miracle for you. Oh, he's got a miracle for you. If he could still the storm for his disciples, and if he could be the hungry multitude. Turn the water into wine. Touch the lame and heal the blind. He's got a miracle for you.